Welcome to Backflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, Backflips and Nerds, and you can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher and a number of other platforms to listen to us. We are continuing today with our season previews. I'm afraid, again, it is not Tom Pringle, it's me, Ben Carter, filling in. And today we're talking about the Detroit Tigers, and I'm delighted to be joined by Jed. How are you doing, Jed?
Yeah, I'm right, mate. You good?
Not bad, thank you. Yeah, I'm enjoying today's action, actually. We've been chatting about the spring training game today because we had PJ Conlon going for the Mets. In the very same game, we also had Tim Tebow, who obviously is the biggest star in baseball these days. So I've been watching that very intently.
Yeah, I was.
But we'll save that for now. And we'll get started with the Tigers. So I guess the obvious first question is, what made you a Tigers fan?
Well, back in 2006, when I was 15 at the time, I just come across the old Channel 5 baseball during the World Series when they faced the Cardinals. And it was because they were, as the commentators were explaining, you know, if the Cardinals win, it's over because they were ahead. I just sort of wanted the Tigers to win just so there'd be a game the next day.
Yeah.
And then the next summer, I started to play baseball for Essex. And just that's always been my team ever since.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realise you played. That's cool. I played for Richmond myself. How do you enjoy it down in Essex? Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. We won the title in 2014, but we've not been too great since then. But
oh, I can agree with you on that one. We won it a few years ago and been really rubbish since then. So, yeah, even in British baseball level, I'm a pretty crap player. But hey, it's good fun, isn't it?
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, back to the Tigers. And last year was kind of a rebound year a little bit after 2015, but it still wasn't what you were hoping for, I imagine. What were your thoughts on the season?
No, yeah, well, sort of had high expectations after all the signings in the off-season, but one by one, they all turned out to be more or less terrible. Except for K-Rod, actually. He was about what we expected, but everyone else, not great.
Yeah, K-Rod had a nice year, didn't he? Even at whatever age he is now. He seems to be younger than I thought he was. He's been around for so long, but he had a nice year. But yeah, the other signings, Justin Upton was a bit of a letdown, and Jordan Zimmerman as well was the other big signing, wasn't he? He didn't do great.
Well, Zimmerman
Do you expect those guys to bounce back this year?
Yeah, well, Zimmerman started the season 8-0 last year, and then he sort of got injured and never really recovered. And Upton was the opposite. He had a terrible first half, but the final month of the season was probably one of the best players in the American League. So if he can carry that over next year, then that'll be all right. But the biggest problem was signing Pelfrey and Lowe to two-year deals because they were probably two of the worst pitchers in the league, and now we've got them again for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I guess it's the kind of thing where when you sign them, you hope they're just going to be depth players, and then when they have to pitch more than you hope they do, then it doesn't look as smart signing them to a two-year deal, which is a shame. Justin Upton is a player I've always had such high hopes for because obviously the pedigree's always been there with him. And again, he's another guy who's always seemed really young, but he's getting on a bit now, isn't he? And like you mentioned, a massive September.
Yeah, he's feel like he's been around but kind of was down on the walks last year until the final month. So maybe if he regains a bit more patience at the plate next year, he'll be back to his usual self.
Yeah, I wonder if he was maybe if he was pressing a little bit, thinking he had to live up to the contract or playing for too much power. I'm not sure, you know, I'm not an expert or anything, but yeah, like you mentioned, that September is promising, but it does feel like every year we have a new reason to expect a breakout season, and every year he finds a way to disappoint. I'm going to use that opportunity actually to really badly segue from one Upton to another Upton who doesn't play for the Tigers, Kate Upton. That is she the best Twitter account to follow to do with the Tigers after her outburst at the Cy Young voting this year, or last year, I should say.
But a justified outburst, by the way. He was robbed. But yeah, no, she's a... You see her at some of the games and stuff. It's quite funny, but he should really have won the Cy Young last year.
Yeah, let's talk about that a bit, because he had a great season, didn't he, Verlander? I think myself and probably quite a few other people sort of wrote him off as over the hill. It must have been great watching him, you know, basically back to his best last year. What was it like?
Yeah, because he was recovering... The previous year, he was recovering from core muscle surgery, and he sort of just pitched through the recovery process. So this last year was his first full season back healthy, and he was pretty much back to as good as he's always been.
Yeah, it seemed to be a lot to do with the fastball, didn't it? Because he's always been one of those overpowering pitches. He just blows it by guys.
Yeah.
But the velocity wasn't down. Wasn't up as high as it had been in the last few years. But last year, he seemed to crank it up a bit, and was just, you know, it was back to punching people out left, right and centre with the fastball, which personally I love to see, and it's great that he's doing that again. It must have been fun to watch.
Yeah, it was good. He should be at the same standard for next season. It's just the rest of the rotation that's kind of questionable.
Right, yeah. I mean, well, I'd like to hear your thoughts on Fulmer as well, because obviously he had a brilliant rookie year. He faltered a little bit down the stretch, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, rookie of the year is nothing to sneeze at. He had a big year. Are you expecting a similar thing this year, or some regression? What are you hoping from Fulmer this year?
I don't think he'll be as good for the full season, because I think the hitters were adjusting. And the last month, I don't know if it was a bit of tiredness combined with the league adjusting to him. He did struggle a bit in the final month, but he should be probably at least our second or third best starter. Depends what we get from Zimmerman. But considering we got him back for a couple of months of Cespedes, that turned out to be quite a good deal.
Yeah, you've got to be really happy with that. He was brilliant last year and got a decent amount of innings under his belt too, so he shouldn't be under too much of a cap this year. Another interesting young pitcher, Daniel Norris, who maybe wasn't quite as flashy as Fulmer was with the numbers, but did show some signs of developing a bit, didn't he? And he's probably got the bigger prospect pedigree. Do you think Norris is going to take a step forward this year?
Yeah, it's just for him, it's just about staying healthy, because he's always had, I think he had a lat strain just every 2 weeks it was popping up. Then there's something with his leg. So every two or three good starts, he'd end up coming out in the first inning and then be set back for a couple of weeks. But the last two or three months, he was solid. So was Matt Boyd as well towards the end. So if we can stick to those five and leave Sanchez and Pelfrey out of it, then we should be all right.
You know, I'm not keen on keeping Anibal Sanchez around then, because he's the kind of guy who sometimes looks fantastic, but the last couple of years, that's been pretty few and far between, hasn't it? Do you think he's going to be a bullpen piece this year?
Well, in the games that they, between Sanchez and Pelfrey last year, in the games that they started, the team went 18-30. And then in the games by the other five starters, we were 67-42. So between those two, they effectively cost us the season. So I don't, and the way spring's going, they've both looked terrible already in their short, you know,
mid-season form.
Yeah, so I guess we can maybe stick them in the pen, but I think they're going to try and force them to get some value out of those contracts and just start them anyway.
Yeah, I imagine they'll at least start one of them, if not the other. But like you mentioned, with injuries the way they are, especially with a guy like Norris in the rotation, they'll probably be called in at some point, at least for spot starts. So it's good to, I suppose, have that veteran depth that we always hear people talk about. How about the bullpen? We talked a little bit about K-Rod earlier. He had a nice season. It's always been traditionally, at least in the last few years in my eyes, an area of weakness for the Tigers, that bullpen. Do you think they've patched some holes this offseason? They haven't made any big moves, but do you like the look of the bullpen coming into this year?
Well, Mark Lowe last year had a 7.1 ERA. That was our big acquisition. So hopefully he can at least provide something, because his fastball's down to around 88 to 90, whereas the year before we signed him, it was up at 95. So he looks like he could pretty much be done. But as long as we get big step forward from Bruce Rondon and the guys like Blaine Hardy and stuff, just being more consistent, I think it'll be good enough to compete. But if we are looking at the playoffs, I think we might have to make a deadline move to get a couple more strikeout pitchers coming out of the pen towards the end.
Yeah, well, we saw last year your division rival Indians make the move for Andrew Miller at the deadline, and their bullpen was lights out for them in the playoffs. So certainly compared to them, probably a weak bullpen. But like you mentioned, that is an area that you can, you know, if you're in the hunt, build on in at the end of the trade season, or the trade deadline, and things like that. So at least you've got that option. But I suppose one question, which is tough to answer, but I'm intrigued here. We're going to say, what do you think the long-term plan is for this team? Because there's a lot of money tied up in some big contracts in Verlander, in Cabrera, Justin Upton. Now Zimmerman's got a few more years left. But some of these guys are starting to get old. Do you think the plan is to try and compete this year, next year? Or do you think you're going to see guys like possibly JD Martinez or Ian Kinsler, you know, propped out there as trade bait as you're trying to rebuild? Or do you think it's going to be a matter of, listen, we've got these guys, we have to try and win now?
I think this could be the last season we really go for it. They kind of gave the memo to Alavila to try and cut payroll this year. And they started that by trading Maybin for essentially nothing. And then I think maybe the market wasn't where they thought it was, and they couldn't really move anyone else for the value. So they've sort of stood still and give it one more year. But JD Martinez is up at the end of the year. I think Kinsler's got an option, but he'd be really easy to trade at the deadline to a contender if we're out of it. And then I think Upton's got an opt-out, but if he's not performing well, I doubt he'll take that. But yeah, and obviously with the team owner Mike Ilitch dying in this offseason, I think it could be heading in a new direction from this year forwards. But it all depends where we are.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, at least with the team as it is now, like you mentioned, because there were rumours, weren't there, about guys like JD Martinez moving to the Giants and things like that. But with the trade market not particularly buoyant this offseason, it makes sense to at least take it into, you know, June, July, see what the team's doing and then make a move. But actually, I'm going to rewind just a sec because I liked how you brought up Mike Ilitch. Because obviously he's a huge part of the team, or has been a huge part of the team. I think he was widely regarded as one of the better owners in baseball. What were your thoughts on him as an owner? And what do you think will be different now that obviously he's passed away?
Yeah, well, he was great, you know. I mean, the year when Victor Martinez tore his ACL and was out for the year, he just about 4 days later signed Prince Fielder to that huge deal. So it was like he wasn't scared to spend the money and he really wanted to win. Obviously, he was running the Red Wings franchise in the NHL and they were winning non-stop for about 10 years, but the Tigers could just never get it done for him. But I think going forwards, I'm not sure. I think it's now been handed over to his son, Chris. So I'm not sure if he's going to maybe look to sell the team or run it himself. But no one really knows yet, but it'll be interesting to see anyway.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And yeah, it's a shame you guys couldn't get a ring for it. You came so close, obviously, in, what was it, 2012, but you never could get over that final hurdle. Yeah. So yeah, it'd be nice for you to get one for him now. And I'm sure, yeah, because he was so generous with his money, like you mentioned, the Prince Fielder signing. And although, like you say, the indications are that Avila's been told to rein it in a bit, I'm sure they will open the purse strings when required again. At least so I hope. I'm going to give you a bit of a tough question here. I'm going to ask you to defend your GM a little bit, because Al Avila signed his own son to play for your team, back to his former team, I might mention. That's Alex, of course. Do you think there's a bit of nepotism going on there? Do you think a bit of favouritism?
No, that's what people seem to think on Twitter all the time, but he's actually was really good for us. I mean, he's never going to hit for high average or much power these days, but he's still getting on base, you know, against right-handed pitching at 350 clips. So if now he's going to be back up to James McCann, who can't hit righties at all, I think it'll work really well if we pick and choose when to play him. If it ends up with him getting a huge, you know, run of games throughout the season, if McCann gets injured or something, then it could be a bit of a problem. But as a backup, he'll be a lot better than Salty was last year, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. And like you mentioned, McCann hasn't particularly impressed so far. Do you think it'll be a bit of a platoon system where McCann will face more of the lefties and Avila will take on more of the righties? It probably makes sense for them, wouldn't it, with neither an elite player. On to the rest of the lineup too, because it is a strong lineup on paper. Obviously, we don't need to talk for too long about guys like Miguel Cabrera, who's just one of the best pure hitters on the planet and has been for going on a decade now. Ian Kinsler's been fantastic for you guys, hasn't he? That trade could not have worked out any better. Yeah. And yeah, like you mentioned, he's got an option for next year, so so he may be around next year, but like you say, he may be traded away. What do you expect from Jose Iglesias this year? Because he's long been touted as one of the best defensive shortstops in the league. And the bat has showed signs, at least, of having a bit of life to it. Do you think he can make the jump to one of the best shortstops in the AL this year?
Not really. I don't think he's ever going to hit anything above what he's currently doing. The defense is always good, but we've got Dixon Machado, a young shortstop who's out of options. So it's going to, towards the end of spring, there's going to be a decision to be made whether to keep Machado on the roster and maybe cut one of the other bench guys, or maybe look to move Iglesias. They've got to kind of decide between the two. But I don't think he'll get through waivers if he's sent back down. Now he's out of options, so we'll, I don't know. Iglesias, good defensively, but he's fine to just put into the nine spot, I guess, and let him play defense.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with Machado, like you mentioned. I imagine he'll make the 25-man if he's out of options. I wasn't aware of that. And I guess they can use him as a kind of a utility player for the time being and a bit of depth. But maybe a little bit of pressure on Iglesias then that I hadn't considered for that position this season. That'll be an interesting one to watch for Tigers fans this spring and April. We've kind of meandered our way through the roster now, talked about some players I wanted to talk about. This season as a whole, what do you expect? What's your win total projection? What do you expect the team to do around the trade deadline? What's your kind of best case and worst case scenario for these guys?
I feel if we stay healthy, we could be one of the best teams in the American League. You know, maybe I think Cleveland will win the division just because their pitching is so strong. But, you know, if there's injuries for them, you never know. But we were the second best offensive team last year. It's just the pitching side let us down, and we were the worst base running team. So that's not going to improve. Everyone's still slow. But yeah, if we can keep the five main starters healthy, and we can avoid Sanchez and Pelfrey making more than sort of 5 to 10 starts each, I think we can get a wild card. Maybe 86 to 88 wins, around about there.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. I think, like you mentioned, the Indians are, in my mind, the strongest team in the American League, and are probably a sure bet for the playoffs, and probably a sure bet for the American League Central Division. But the rest of the teams in your league are all, for want of a better word, pretty crap. So you might be able to sneak, you know, a decent amount of wins against the likes of the Twins and the White Sox, and I'd be surprised not to see you at least in the wild card race come, you know, the All-Star break and come the beginning of September. So yeah, I think, and of course, you know, once you're into the postseason, anything can happen, especially if someone like Verlander is back to his best. So some reason for optimism, I suppose, for you then.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we can stay healthy, I think we'll be in with a shot. It'll just sort of come down to the final few games again. Like last season, our record against the Indians was four wins, 14 losses. So if we even, you know, went 500 against them, we'd have been in the wild card spot. So I don't expect them to dominate us that badly again. So maybe we'll close the gap.
Oof, yeah, that's a seriously poor record. I guess a bit of an Indians voodoo there. They'll have to watch out for this season. But no, I'm agreeing with you on that one. You're not as wildly optimistic as some people we've had projecting their team's wins. Let's move on now to some of our more ridiculous questions. Let's start, not ridiculous questions yet, sorry, some of our quickfire questions. Who is an outside player on your team, or I guess on another team, if there's someone you particularly like, who isn't recognised for his talents?
I'm going to go with Matt Boyd. I think he really developed last year into a solid, you know, fourth or fifth guy in the rotation. And he pitched the majority of his innings towards the second half of the year. And his second half numbers were the best of his career. And his ERA was down to 3.6 for the second half. So if he could pick up from where he sort of left off last year, I think he could be a big arm for us this year.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, that's definitely not a name that many people will be familiar with. But like you say, his numbers last year were pretty good. He ate up some innings. He improved down the stretch. So that could be a good name to watch that you probably won't see on many Detroit Tigers preview pieces this season. How about looking at a wild or bold prediction for this season? Obviously, you've pegged the team pretty down the middle, 86 wins. You got any wild predictions for a player off of this team?
Yeah,
I think
Nick Castellanos is going to hit 30 home runs.
Wow.
I really think he's going to do it.
Okay.
He's been a... improving his home run total and his power numbers each year up. And he was limited to just over 100 games last year, and he managed to hit 18. And I think if he can stay healthy and, you know, get one of the, like a one hot month where he gets 7 or 8 out, I think he could reach 30.
Yeah, he did quietly have a much better year last year, didn't he? Because for a couple of seasons, it looked like he was going to be a bit of a bust, but he showed some strides last year. And I think rumour has it that he's going to be batting second in this lineup. And I mean, any time you're batting in front of Miguel Cabrera, you're probably going to see some pretty nice pitches. So that might not be the wildest prediction.
And he had one of the highest line drive percentages against fastballs in the majors over the last 2 years. So if he's in front of Miggy, people don't want to walk him. He should be seeing lots of fastballs. So I think he could put it together and hit 30 out.
Okay, yeah, no, I didn't know that about the line drive percentage. Maybe Brad Osmus thinking that one through, putting him second in the lineup. But yeah, that's a nice prediction. I guess health is going to be the biggest issue for him, like you mentioned, limited last year. But yeah, 30 home runs, there you go. That's a nice, bold prediction. I like that. On to the sillier questions now, as is our go-to. If the team's on a night out, having a few drinks, who's getting a kebab once the drinking's done?
I'm going to have to say Bruce Rondon, purely just because he's borderline obese.
He's a big bloke, isn't he?
260 pounds.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him eat a kebab in the bullpen, sort of. So if he knows he's not coming into the game, crack into one, why not?
Definitely.
Well, I suppose that would be a little bit surprised. I don't know if that would please the manager very much. But no, I like that. Bruce Rondon, big fella. Who would claim on the way home not to have any cash?
Mark Lowe. He's been stealing a living all season last year. So what's another, you know, $20 for a cab fare?
I like that, yeah. Why not? He's been Renting you all year. I suppose I would expect if I were a Tigers player, if we're going on night out, if Prince Fielder's invited, I'd hope he'd stump up because you guys are still paying him, aren't you, to not
yeah,
do
we're
anything.
paying him to,
So I could think he could at least.
We're paying him to do his own cooking show now. So.
Right, so I think he could at least chip in for the taxi ride home. But yeah, that's assuming he hasn't been distracted with old Bruce on the kebab. Who is likely to be staying at home watching Great British Bake Off rather than popping out for a pint?
I've gone with Mike Pelfrey, and purely because I'd like to think that he wouldn't be invited.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I honestly, I don't know if I have any strong opinions at all on Mike Pelfrey ever, which is probably the exact reason why I can absolutely see him staying in watching Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
I get the feeling you don't
know.
No,
I've just grown to hate him over the years. Or the year. It feels like years, but it was only one.
Felt like years, yeah. All right, and in true Alan Partridge style, who is most likely on this team to go off the rails and drive barefoot to Dundee?
It's got
to
be Daniel Norris. He lives in a van in the off season and shaves with an axe, so it's got to be him.
I like that. Yeah, I remember reading a really good ESPN article, probably a couple of years, maybe last year actually, about him living in the van in a Walmart parking lot during the off season. That is awesome. So I can absolutely see him drive barefoot to Dundee, probably on a daily basis, just part of his personality. Maybe he drives barefoot to spring training. Who knows? Probably a question worth asking him. Anyway, I like that. Some good answers there. I can see you've thought those through well. Can you recommend a Twitter account or a blog or a beat writer that you enjoy following to do with the Tigers?
Just for the basic stuff, you know, the lineups and the day-to-day news, follow Anthony Fenech, Tigers beat writer, and two guys who run another Tigers-based podcast called The Podcastianos. That's a good follow as well, and they do a good podcast.
It's a great name, actually. They saw their chance there and they took it, didn't they? So, a couple of good calls there. So, any Tigers fans out there, you've got yourself a couple of leads there. So I guess that just about wraps us up, actually. Thanks very much for joining me, Jed. It's been great fun talking about the Tigers a bit. And thanks to all our listeners. Where can they find you on Twitter, Jed?
I am at TigersJUK on Twitter.
At TigersJUK. Excellent. I am your host, Ben Carter, filling in again. You can find me on Twitter at UK Baseball Blog. I'm pretty easy to find on Batflips and Nerds too. Don't forget you can contact us on all the usual mediums, Twitter at Batflips_Nerds, Facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds, and email. And as some of you may have seen today, Tom has put a lot of hard work in the last few days producing our new website, our own domain name, batflipsandnerds.com. No more domain. So check that out. The website looks awesome. Give them some feedback. Nice feedback, though. And be sure to recommend it to your friends. So thanks, everyone, for joining me. And thanks again, Jed, for talking to me about the Tigers. Bye.